This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, everybody. My name's Kate Delaney. Thanks for joining us in a new reality. And what is that reality? It is the reality that we're just not going to agree on a lot. I think that the world that we live in is, as I say, yin-yang, push-pull, you, me, them, us, and it just continues. This time it's about student loans and $300 billion and what that's going to look like. Some are saying this is just bribery because it's an executive action and Biden is looking to pump up the Democrats before the midterms and especially to court the younger vote. Although I say good luck with the younger vote, because usually the younger vote is, especially for a midterm election, is not high at all. Obviously, somebody was excited about it because the federal student aid website crashed after Biden's debt announcement went down. So there are people that were looking it up, I'm sure, to see eligibility. It's pretty easy. It's debt forgiveness up to 20 grand. To see if you're eligible, it depends on what you make. So if you are making less than $125,000 and you have student loan debt, you qualify. If you're a married couple and you make less than $250,000 a year, you would have up to $10,000 of your federal student loan debt forgiven. That's if you didn't get a Pell Grant as an undergraduate student. So there will be some sticky things, I think, to be part of how this is torn apart, right? But 8 million borrowers will probably get debt forgiveness automatically because the Department of Education has their income information. So they'll look at that and it'll be wiped out. And then others will have to do that application thing. They'll have to go to the Department of Education and figure out if they qualify or not and fill it out and then go from there. For borrowers with loans less than $12,000 or less, loan balances would be forgiven after 10 years of payments instead of the current 20-year mark. There are some Democrats who say, peh, that doesn't go far enough. It needs to be $50,000. And there are many Republicans and others, because it's not necessarily labels. It can be all kinds of emotions and feelings that are stirred up with this, say that it's outrageous because they had to pay. And then what does that say? That you get a loan and you can just walk away from it? And so there is a lot of... there is a lot of nastiness, I mean nastiness, going on out there. It is a civil war as far as social media is concerned. That's all Twitter was trending today, so much of it, so at least big chunks of it anyway. It was about that. And whether or not this was the right thing to do, and was it just simply completely outrageous, and was it simply a maneuver by the president. And I think there's who qualifies and all those things in between and how it's going to actually work. Some of that, of course, has to be figured out. I mean, and is this a magic bullet for student debt relief? I don't think so. What will the conditions look like, right? But this is, for some, it's a huge break. And I think... this isn't just one. Every individual has a different story. So it goes to that, back to that same thing of how they get there, what happened, what does this mean, and what does it mean financially overall. And I think that's what has so many people's heads spinning over this whole idea that will it impact inflation? Will a multi-billion dollar student loan handout in any way impact inflation? Because that's the other part that that you hear constantly. What is it going to do? What are the numbers? What does it look like? What does that do? But this is something that was coming down the pike, and we knew it. I don't think it, to me, it was in a wild surprise that this was going to happen, because this was a promise. This was something that Biden said on the campaign trail. And listen, he has an executive order, and that's what he used this for. So he announced the decision on Twitter on Wednesday morning, saying it was breathing room for borrowers as they prepare to resume federal student loan payments in January of 2023. And it's the numbers I said, the $125 a year. If you're less than that, then you're going to have it reduced by at least $10,000. And then it depends on that $250 cap for couples, and then Pell Grants mixed into, you know, all of that, right? And then, of course, the extension, that's also part of it. And, you know, what happens with this current structure. But there was nothing but a tug of war over this. I mean, nothing but a tug of war. And I will say this, the Education Department, they're going to have to step it up, because they've got to deal with this. So they have to look at all these emails of every federal student loan debt holder who qualifies, right? And then they have to go through the reduction in the total bill, how much faster they'll be able to pay it off, that whole thing. So this is, so are we going to have to pay for, I'm thinking this out loud, think of the army of IRS people that have to be hired. Are they going to have to hire more people with the Education Department? And I'm going to say yes. Because how are they going to figure all this groundwork out? I mean, that's the other side of this that I guess wasn't talked about. Where does that money come out of, and how many people will have to be involved in that? I think a lot of people are going to have to be involved in that. And I did an unofficial poll, so it means there are no scientific numbers to this, nothing, other than you sending me your thoughts to Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Because I thought this was perfect, because we have the push-pull audience. We have the yin-yang living right here, as I've done this show for 15 years. And sure enough, it really was pretty much 50-50. And a lot of it depended on, I think, if you had to pay back loans and how you feel about that, and how you feel about money in general, and how you feel about people getting money, and especially if you were somebody who had to pay it back. But not everybody reacted that way. A few people that had to pay loans back thought it was outrageous, the money that they couldn't get out of, you know, they couldn't get from underneath, and that it was just crippling their life, and they weren't living in mansions, etc. So it's all over the map. Big decision happened in Uvalde. He is gone. The police chief, Pete Arredondo, a lot of parents happy about that, as they wanted him to go right after their children were killed on May 24th. But now it's official. Unanimously, they voted him out. They terminated his contract 3 months after a teenager took the lives of 19 children and two teachers at Robb Elementary. Stay with us.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
With us. He's in our virtual green room. In fact, his book is called Da Vinci's Mental Code. Palibor, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. You're welcome.
So tell us about the book. What made you write this book? How'd you come up with it?
That's a great question. It involves my whole life. So to a certain point, about 5 years ago, that I was wondering why, after a certain family crisis, in my family, why my mother, when she was 10, was so concerned about the masculine and feminine duality within her that I read about in her memoirs maybe 20 years ago, but re-reviewing it after the family crisis in 2017.
Wow, and so that led you to this, looking at these ideas, right? Looking at what is it that we're seeing? I mean, so tell us more about that and what we can expect in the book.
Thank you. Yeah, basically, if there was anything out there to communicate with me, say my mother, she passed 30 years ago, whether it's her or whatever, Lorna Byrne, however people talk to angels, there's a lady, Lorna Byrne, who claims she sees angels. I was reading different books like this. If there's anything out there, please help me understand why my mother, she was diagnosed manic depressive before she died. And I've had a bipolar mind since I was 16, and I'm 48 now. So the discovery would have been 5 years ago when I was 43. And basically, all of a sudden, I'm asking this, thinking about it, because there was a big it had to do with my father and realizing he may be suffering from social pathology, given how dishonest he was dealing with my brother and in a horrible situation in family. And I guess you could even call it prayer or meditation. And all of a sudden, honestly, I'm looking at the Vitruvian Man schematic of Leonardo da Vinci, which at that point I did not even know by name. So I may seem a bit emotional about it because, it was quite a situation. So all of a sudden I'm looking at the Vitruvian Man. So I don't want to hog the mic here, but it led to realizations. And this, like, I don't want to say it's connected to anything other than some sort of realization where maybe I was meditating and I just noticed a lot of duality in the Vitruvian Man, which I've never seen anybody else talk about, having to do with his eyes. His left eye is comparatively a lot darker than his right eye. And that might have to do with an angel sitting historically on the left shoulder a devil is sitting on the left shoulder, you know, the old analogy or the old tale, where an angel might be sitting on the right shoulder, whispering in the right ear, and the little devil whispering in the left ear. Like, literally, like, I wasn't thinking about that at the time, but later tying it to that, where anybody can pull up an image of the Vitruvian Man on the internet, zoom in the face, and see the left eye is comparatively a lot more dark than the right eye. So that was just one discovery. And in the end, I wondered if his head tilted to the right. Can you imagine that? I split the circle down the middle, right down the middle, and his head is tilting to his right. So that's a fact. Nobody can deny that. And if anybody thinks a man please.
Yeah, no. And so in the book, that's what you talk about. You look at these themes, and you really invite people to look at that. And what do you see?
Yeah, it's really a book to ask questions and then discuss possible answers. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. If we were to sum it up in a sentence or two, and you know, you're talking to a friend and you're saying, "Listen, I wrote this book, and it's powerful. Da Vinci's Mental Code." What would you say?
I would say that there's a don't. I would say that it's largely about duality, whether you want to call it good or evil, light or dark. I think all the ancient. Well, in a sentence, right? In a sentence, I would say check out Dr. Ian McGilchrist right now, who has a hemispheric theory that says in the end, the right hemisphere is always right, and the left hemisphere has more to do with us in the physical world, where we have to defend ourselves within any given competitive hierarchy or whatever social structure we exist in. But in the end, it might not be as exciting, but it might involve more suffering. But in the end, the right hemisphere holds all the answers. And that's Dr. Ian McGilchrist. This guy he's a psychiatrist and scholar. I would say in the end, check out my book, and it could possibly be tied to he's arguably a modern-day polymath. You know, a lot of people think he's really great.
Yeah,
it's in a sense, that's difficult. That's a great question, though.
Here's what I would say. And one of the things that you talk about, what best describes the story, power centers corruption.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you said to me. Yeah.
Well, that's why you're a pro, and you did it.
that's what it is. So when you, it's really, there's some really provocative things, and when you read it, you're like, oh, wow, I never looked at it that way. And that's what I think it is. That's what really pops out to you.
Yeah.
For sure.
In one thing, if you want to think of duality, we call it good and evil, light and dark. You know, the ancient Buddhists call it annihilationism, eternalism. The ancient Greeks called it above and below. The New Agers call it positive and negative, yin and yang in ancient Chinese. I think we're all talking about the same thing, but the most provocative thing might be, new idea is circle versus triangle. And if you look at the Vitruvian Man, this is where it came from. Shaded around his left eye is an inverted equilateral triangle. I mean, it's right there. It's the perimeter outline. You can check it out. Anybody can zoom in. It's not. I did not include any pictures in my book, but literally, go to the Wikipedia page. It's the best picture to zoom in on the Vitruvian Man's face. There's literally an inverted equilateral triangle shaded around his left eye, and around his right eye is a more circular shape. So this might be a sacred geometric approach to looking at duality, where it's an equilateral triangle versus circle. Who knows? Because how many times have you seen the image of a equilateral triangle and a circle? People flash it. I think it's one of the most untalked about versions of a way to look at duality. It might be a sacred geometric approach. My book discusses this.
Yeah,
but it's not me. It's Leonardo da Vinci, and
I had
no concern about the Vitruvian Man my whole life. I was a jock. I was a sports geek growing up. I was a golf pro. I stopped being a golf pro about 12, 15 years ago. I throughout my life, the Vitruvian Man has been flashed in my face, you know, the image with the Leonardo da Vinci's iconic Vitruvian Man. I'm sure it's been flashed in your face and all of our faces for whatever reason. Maybe that's why it popped into my mind during that meditation. I have no idea. But if you look at the left eye, just check it out. Zoom in. Check it out.
Right, and you'll see it. Yeah. Interesting themes on the duality. And, okay, so this book you can get on Amazon, Da Vinci's Mental Code, Palliur Iversoon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Again, website, DaVinciMentalCode.com. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about this.
All right, speaking of looking at things differently, Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy are launching a tech-infused golf league. They're going to partner with the PGA Tour. They'll have players competing on 6 three-man teams in 15 regular season matches and a playoff starting in January of 2024. And you say, what? They're going after the Saudi-backed tour. So they're saying, we can be the new sexy. This new league, TGL, is going to feature apparently 2-hour 18-hole matches on a virtual course. So they're going to take place in prime time on Monday nights in a custom-made venue. They haven't determined that location, but they did throw out some renderings of it. There's going to be a simulator that players will hit longer shots into with an authentic green area for chipping and putting. Putting, not punting. That would be interesting if they punted. Different sport. The matches would probably be played between January and April, and each of the 6 teams will compete 5 times during the 15-week schedule. McIlroy said Woods planned to compete in the matches. Woods played in only 3 tournaments this year because he had those serious injuries from the car wreck. He's wildly popular. He would make a very big difference. So technology to create a unique environment to move, they say, the sport into prime time on a consistent basis with so many of sport's biggest events. So blending golf with technology. And like I said, it's another way to go after the live tour or the events anyway, because it's really an event-driven thing. And come up with something completely different. I wonder if it'll work. I mean, would you tune in to watch them on this whole virtual scenario? I mean, they've got some time to make it right. That's why they're not launching. I'm sure they couldn't launch it right away, but until 2024. But it could be a really great opportunity for these golfers to show different sides of themselves. And it would give the golf world some brand exposure and see if they can get a younger audience. Because, you know, that's always the whole thing about how old is the audience when it comes to the game of golf. Oh, yeah. It's always interesting, isn't it? I don't know. I've done that simulated golf thing. I'm not very good at it. But I'm not a pro. Stay with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Joe Biden unveiled his plan Wednesday to forgive $10,000 in student loan debt with borrowers who have Pell Grants getting as much as $20,000 forgiven. Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, criticizes the president for comparing student loans to loans given to small businesses during the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Student loans are loans to people who want to pursue college education, who are unable to afford it otherwise, and it's a commitment to the lender to pay the money back. In the case of SBA loans, they end up producing business and jobs and opportunity, and they get paid back.
The Dow ending a three-day losing streak at the closing bell, gaining 59 points. This is USA Radio News. More than 80% of the western United States is under severe drought, including Texas, which is suffering the driest condition in the last 120 years. The situation is so bad that ranchers and farmers are being forced to sell off their herds. The USDA saying herds are down 2.4% nationwide since last year and down close to 50% in Texas, 43% in New Mexico, and 41% in Oregon. As far as what this means for folks who like to eat beef, Arthur Ohl is the president of the Texas and Southwest Cattle Raisers Association.
The fewer calves will be born next year, mm-hmm. and the supply will go down. And when supplies go down, it's very simple, supply and demand. The prices will rise.
Kentucky lawmakers are holding a special session to discuss the next steps in helping eastern Kentucky's flood victims. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Take you to a place called Wellington, New South Wales, and introduce you to a really interesting woman who is, I think, going to capitalize on something that makes me laugh out loud, and I think it'll make some of you laugh out loud as well. Her name is Catherine Kennedy, and her book is called A Through Z of Animal Collectives. And think about what that means, and we're going to dive deeper into that. So, and you can get the book, by the way, on Amazon. And here's the other thing I love about Catherine. She spells her name the same way that I do. K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. So we know she's brilliant already before we even go to her in our virtual green room. Catherine, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you. Good to be here.
What led you to writing this book? How did this get in your head?
Well, I'm a mum of 5 kids, and we take long car trips here in Australia all the time because everything's so far away. And the challenge for parents is trying to entertain their children on these long, boring car trips. So we started to play I Spy, and soon enough they got very bored with that. So we started a game of what groups of animals called. And we came up with a few, but there were so many that stumped us. So when we got to our destination, I researched it a little bit, and I actually tried to find a book that I could buy the kids to explain animal collectives to them, and I couldn't find one anywhere. So that kind of inspired me to write one.
So you said about writing it, and then while you're doing the research for that, it had to be interesting to come up with or realize what some of the names were. And you and I were talking off the air, and you said it did make you just laugh out loud.
It did. It did. Well, writing the book was my mum time. So I'd put all the kids to bed, and then I'd sit with my laptop and I'd do my research. And quite often I'd be in fits of giggles, and, you know, one of the kids would come out and say, "What's wrong, Mummy?" Well, I was just in hysterics about the names of these animal collectives. They're quite unique, and I sort of questioned, well, who comes up with these? Where did they come from? So I researched that as well, and it's just an interesting part of our language, I think.
Yeah, so tell us about that. Tell us about where collectives come from. You know, well, again, you go way back in history when you talk about that.
Yeah, way back in history. So in the English culture, throughout the 14 and 1500s, that was the aristocracy mainly. One of their main pastimes was hunting. So it became signified a person's wit and humour and education if they could come up with these peculiar names for groups of things or animals in particular. The animal collectives originally they were called terms of ventry. And they were mostly around hunted animals. When I researched it, there was a woman in the 15th century called Julia Berners, and she wrote a book called The Book of Hawking, Hunting and Blasting of Arms. And within that book, she quoted about 146 animal collective nouns, which were absolutely hysterical. And the professors and the linguists at Oxford University adapted those collective nouns into our modern language, and they became the collective nouns we now use for groups of animals. So that's the history of it, which I found fascinating and very funny.
Yeah, I find it fascinating too, and very, very funny. And in your book, you have some really funny, funny moments in it. Tell us, as you were doing this, some of what you tripped onto. Like, I know oysters was one of them.
Oysters, yes, oysters. I just had a vision of these tiny little oysters all in their beds, tucked up with their blankets around them. So it's a group of oysters is called a bed of oysters. I love the letter O because it deals with oysters and owls. And owls is a parliament, which I also found quite funny.
A parliament of owls.
Parliament of owls. And we have a parliament here in Australia, which... And Parliament of Owls kind of denotes a whole group of very wise people. But in America, you have a Congress, and a Congress of, in my book, is a Congress of baboons. So it's quite a contradiction from Australian Parliament to American Parliament.
Boy, no kidding. Maybe we better go back to Parliament. It makes more sense. Wow. And yes. So there's so much the kids will learn by reading this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the book is it's written in verse, so it's rhyming, and there's a lot of rhythm throughout the prose. And I, with my experience with my own children, reading books to them, kids love rhythm and rhyme in books, and they love to hear almost a musical sound. So I found a lot of these verses that they can almost be sung. They've got a very rhythm, very much a rhythm about them. They're very funny. So the kids and the adults reading the books to them can connect through the humour, which I find is a great thing for human connection.
What did your kids think of their mom writing this book? What did they think?
Well, kids are pretty blasé about everything. They just kind of said, "Oh yeah, that's cool, Mum." I don't think they really believed it until we actually got sent the first copies.
And for you to get the first copies, how neat was that?
It was so exciting. It was so exciting. I mean, Katie, if I didn't sell one single copy of this book, I didn't care. The fact that I had a hard copy book in my hand that I'd written and had published was such an accomplishment for me. So it was that was a win in itself.
Yeah. I think we were talking about it, but what do you hope people take away from reading, getting these books? It's a great gift for really a baby shower, kids, your own kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews. I mean, it could go in any direction, A through Z of animal collectors. What do you hope the takeaway is for most people who read the book?
Well, I hope, firstly, that it connects adult and children readers and gives kids time to read with adults. And often we don't do that in this day and age. We're connected to screens all the time, and not very many parents sit down and read stories anymore. So I'm hoping that that opens up that connection again for reading. And I hope people get a laugh out of it. I hope they're joined in the humour of it. And I also hope that reading the book, people get from it that if there's something in the world that that they can't find, that they can create one, that we have the possibility to do that. We just have to believe in ourselves. So, yeah.
I like that. So you can create it. That's a great message. And you're not done creating. You've got another book coming up. Tell us about that one.
I have. This one is the A to Z of Baby Animals. So it's in the same genre, and I'm writing the book in verse again, so with a lot of humour. So I'm hoping that one follows in this one's footsteps and is widely accepted and liked.
I've got to think you have probably ponies in there somewhere.
We'll definitely have ponies in there. And one thing I didn't include in this book, which I only just found out about in the last week, actually, was unicorns. There's actually a collective noun for unicorns, which I didn't even know I would have put it in the book.
What is the collective noun?
A blessing of unicorns.
Now you've told the world it's great. A blessing of unicorns.
Of unicorns. How precious is that?
Boy, I love it. Well, you can get the book, of course, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Catherine Kennedy, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me, Kate.
So interesting, Catherine's book and talking about animal collectives. And, you know, there's even a band. I was remembering this. I'm sure she knows this, too. There's an even a pop band that was in the early 2000s called Animal Collective that actually was pretty popular. And it made me think, wow, how'd they come up with that name? But, you know, it's like you think of what is a collection of crows? And I started thinking about this. It's a murder. It's called a murder. Someone said that one time to me, and I was like, what? And then what is sloths? I just was at, well, it's actually been a while, but I used to go constantly to Dallas's aquarium. They have an aquarium, but the aquarium is more like being actually in South America, right? And they have a sloth. And this is sloth that everybody talks about. Well, what is a collective of sloths? Anybody know what that is? That'd be a good question. It'd be a good trivia question, but I'm going to give you the answer to it because it's kind of like when I do the New York Times puzzle and I can't think of what the word is. I'm not going to make you wait. So Catherine would appreciate this. It's a bed. A bed. A crowd of sloths is a bed. I had no idea. The name that I was coming up with, the strange name that I was coming up with, was just like, I have a whole list of them. And we're going to have fun with this, too, by the way, in the upcoming weeks as we go along, which I think she'll appreciate that, too. It's like, what's a collective of boars? Sounder. Did you know that? Yeah. There's some that are obvious that we know, but there's some that are not obvious. Like, I had no idea, and I have such a love for giraffes, and I just had that chance to go and see the giraffes at Fossil Rim. And it's an incredible place. It's like being in Africa, and it's in Glen Rose, Texas. And giraffes, for a collective of giraffes, it's a tower. Yeah. See if you can stump me with one. Kate, and I promise I won't look it up, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. She got us thinking, absolutely. All right, stay with us, everybody.
well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We end with just in case you missed some of what I was talking about earlier at the top of this hour and this show. A couple of big things. Student loans. How about that forgiveness? Boy, it has elicited a lot of reaction, negative and positive. So Joe Biden announced on Wednesday the plans to address the student loan debt. We knew this was coming. I talked about it the other day. I've talked about it last week. I've talked about it many times. But this is the specifics. They're going to cancel about $32 billion of the $1.6 trillion in outstanding federal student debt by expanding existing forgiveness programs for public sector workers, disabled borrowers, students who were defrauded by for-profit colleges. There were a lot of those. And how much forgiveness will they get? The amount of debt canceled depends on whether the borrower, check this out, got a Pell Grant to attend college. A federal Pell Grant is only given to undergraduate students who display exceptional financial need and they haven't earned a bachelor's, a graduate, or any kind of professional degree. And so it doesn't have to be repaid except under certain circumstances. You can find that definition anywhere. So individual borrowers, this is the specific part of this that you have to know. Individual borrowers who make less than $125,000 yearly and married couples or heads of households who make less than $250,000 yearly will have up to $10,000 of their federal student loan debt
forgiven if they did not receive a Pell Grant as an undergraduate student. Wow. So what happens now? 8 million borrowers might be able to get this debt forgiveness because the Department of Education already has their income information. So they're going to launch an application in the next coming weeks for borrowers to provide their income information, or if they're unsure if the department has their income already, blah, blah, blah. The applications available before the federal student loan repayment pause ends on December 31st. So this is really big. You know, how many people will take advantage of it? What does it mean? What about for borrowers with loan balances of $12,000 or less? Loan balances will be forgiven after 10 years of payments instead of the current 20-year. So there's going to be a lot of people that will benefit from it, but there's a lot of people that are furious about it because they had to pay. And they're saying this isn't fair, this is ridiculous, and this is more money out the window. And I did an unofficial poll on this show, and typical of this audience, it pretty much was 50-50. In some ways, I was surprised by that. Now, this is, again, unscientific, and there was actually 22 of you that chimed in that short 24-hour period. So, first of all, congratulations on so many people reached out, but that's how it ran. It was pretty much 50-50. Yeah. All right, the other thing I wanted to talk about is the Vanessa Bryant lawsuit over Kobe Bryant's crash scene photos. I did a lot of media on this because I interviewed Kobe Bryant several times. He was from Philadelphia, like me, different areas, but his father was a big name. And like I said, I had covered him and known him from that, so people wanted different opinions, I guess, about him, etc. And I did a lot of television, a lot of radio. And one of the things that always stuck out to me was how ridiculous I thought it was that these photos, very graphic photos, were out there, boom, when it happened. And I wondered right away, was she even contacted? So you have 9 federal jurors. They started deliberating Wednesday in that civil case over these graphic photos taken at the site of the helicopter crash that killed not just Kobe Bryant, but his daughter Gianna as well, and 7 others. So the deliberations began shortly after an attorney for the Los Angeles County argued that the trial is a pictures case with no pictures, saying that the gruesome photos of human remains have never actually been seen by the public or even the plaintiffs, and said no pictures is good. No pictures means no public dissemination, no risk of other people making mistakes. But in the rebuttal, Bryant's attorney argued the actions of the county in taking the photos were completely reckless, inhumane, and caused emotional distress. So the trial is against LA County, the Sheriff's Department, Fire Department, and others, and it's centered on the photos of the remains taken at the crash that killed Kobe Bryant, like I said, his daughter, and then the others that were involved in it. And, of course, the National Transportation Safety Board determined, and we all know this, right, that the helicopter pilot pushed the limits of bad flying weather rules before he crashed right into a hillside in Calabasas, California. And the argument for Vanessa Bryant and her attorney is, again, the emotional distress. It violated their constitutional rights. The attorneys asked the jury for damages of up to $42.5 million for Bryant and $32.5 million for Chester, which, of course, Chester is someone else that was involved in it. So, wow. Witnesses during the trial included a deputy who said he showed graphic images from the scene while at a bar, another deputy who said he shared photos while playing a video game, a deputy who sent dozens of photos to someone he didn't know, and a fire official who showed the images to other personnel during an awards ceremony cocktail hour. Wow. And so you think about what happened there, then you think about the California governor, Gavin Newsom, who signed an invasion of privacy bill, called it the Kobe Bryant Act, that makes it illegal for first responders to share photos of dead people at a crime scene for any purpose other than an official law enforcement purpose. So the misdemeanor crime is punishable by up to $1,000 per violation. Anyway, what happens here could really, I think, impact other cases, as laws do, as decisions do, in other cases where photos are shared. I mean, have you ever jumped on Twitter and seen some horrible wreck? Have you seen somebody covered over? I mean, how far would that limit go? But I thought it was ridiculous that they had no idea, and those photos were everywhere. And my friend who lives right next to Calabasas called me immediately and said she couldn't believe what she was seeing because she's there in Los Angeles. And, of course, the Bryants live in that area. So this is a terrible, sad thing all the way around. All right, so student loans was big. The Bryant thing, I think, is a very, very big thing. And then, of course, Independence Day in the Ukraine. Once again, a deadly missile. So there was an attack on a train station that killed at least 22 in Ukraine. 6 months into the war, we've seen different emotions. We've seen a humanitarian outpouring. We've seen so many people try to figure out what can we do in this jigsaw puzzle. And this was a big day for Ukraine. There was warnings to be careful, but how careful can you be? How do you know where a bomb is going to be? So, of course, the country voted 31 years ago to break from the Soviet Union. And, of course, it was a somber affair. And then this missile strike on this train station in eastern Ukraine killed at least 22 people. Previous years, celebrations, parades, commemorations, none of that. Across the country, Ukrainians paid tribute to those who have been killed in the military action since the invasion began. And it's just incredibly sad. I mean, in the capital, in Kyiv, President Zelensky and his first lady, Zelensky, that's what they call her, visited the memorial wall of fallen defenders of Ukraine. That's what they call it. It's in a western city, and there were some really emotional family members of soldiers that were at a small ceremony that was there at the Field of Mars. So, you know, this is the never-ending situation. That's what I'm calling it. It's a sick, twisted, never-ending situation. And I saw some of those photos from that train station, and there's no question. I mean, it blew it apart. I mean, it was absolutely horrific. So that's what's happening there, and that's part of the buzz in the land. People are talking about that. All right, the other thing that I didn't mention at the top is all of the speculation in the Twitter sphere and everywhere else about House of Dragon, which is HBO's new prequel to its blockbuster series, which I loved. Remember, I went to Ireland. I was so fortunate. Game of Thrones. I saw where they filmed it. I saw the sound studios. So it premiered. Fans and critics are comparing notes about how it stacks up. And is it a nonsensical story? Does it make sense? Does it focus on one thread of it? I sort of don't want to spoil it for everybody because I was such a huge Game of Thrones fan. I think it's very hard to do a prequel and do a prequel well, by the way. And there is some Easter eggs, so there were some things I liked. I have to really kind of let it sink in to give you a better opinion of it because I am a fan. And you'd have to have seen the Game of Thrones. To me, it wouldn't make any sense. I think you'd have to be a Game of Thrones fan. Then you go back and you decide, does this House of Dragon, does it really measure up? I mean, there are some cool moments in it because I was a loyal follower. And I think if you're a loyal follower, it does work. But if not, it might be quite difficult. All right, thanks to all of you for listening to this show. Make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.